Welcome back to the Weekend Key Warriors podcast. Here we talk about our favorite game, KeyForge, focusing on strategy and having fun. Come grow with us as we work to become a top KeyForge team. I'm your host, Dennis, also known as Arlie, and I'm once again joined by my co-host, John. How's it going, John?
It's going well, Dennis. For the listeners, I'm John, also called Second Act. Thanks for joining us here on the podcast, where it's always the weekend.
And today, we're going to be talking about the new KeyForge set, Grim Reminders. John has put together some card combos that you can find in the set, and we're going to be going over those. It's kind of like a full episode of Brain Drain, so we won't be doing the usual Brain Drain segment at the end.
I'm excited for this one, Dennis. This set is great so far. I love the mechanics and the strategy involved in it, and all the little micro interactions between the cards that create cool plays has definitely been one of my favorite sets.
To be fair, you're a little biased since this is the first time you've been opening good decks.
That certainly does not hurt.
Okay, let's get started. The first combo that we're going to look at today is Boo and Winds of Death. Boo is a Geistoid action that dumps the top 10 cards of a deck into that player's discard pile. Winds of Death is a Geistoid action that archives all the creatures from all discard piles and then destroys all creatures in play. If you play these two cards right off at the beginning of the game, you'll have several creatures in archives ready to launch into a really good second turn. One of the great things about this combo is that it utilizes two common cards, so it will show up fairly often. Is there another Geistoid combo that can be played on turn one, John?
You know it, Dennis. This combo is the first of two Ecto Charge combos that will be showing up on this list. Specifically, it's Future is Past and Ecto Charge. Future is Past basically does a reverse time on both players, swapping their deck and discard pile. It's a Geistoid action. Ecto Charge is another Geistoid action, and it lets you forge a key at plus 20 current cost, minus 1 for each card in your discard pile. So, normally the key number there is 26. If you have 26 cards in your discard pile, you can forge a key for free. Now, if you draw both of those cards in your opening hand, it's a free key. You simply play Future is Past, dumping your 30 or so card deck into your discard pile, and then you play Ecto Charge, forging for free. Ecto Charge does purge itself, but you can't argue with a free key. That's a pretty big advantage off the beginning of the game. I think the next combo is that one that you discovered, Dennis. What is that one?
I did. This combo was in one of my Awakenings decks. The combo is Rotfeast and Amberstorm. Rotfeast is an untamed action that gives you an amber whenever a creature is dealt damage for the rest of the turn. Amberstorm allows you to deal a point of damage to an enemy creature for each amber in your pool. Thus, if you spread the damage out among your opponent's battle line, you can easily burst 6 or more amber just from these two cards. However, it's worth noticing that the damage is dealt simultaneously, which means that dealing multiple damage to one creature won't get you multiple amber. Also, wards will get in the way of the effect occurring at all. Still, it's great burst, and even better if you can finish it off with a spooky charge.
I have mixed feelings about Spooky Charge so far. Being haunted is so important in this set that I often find myself not wanting to play Spooky Charge just so that I can keep the cards in my discard pile. I guess for a third key it's really good, but the jury's still out on using it for first or second key in my mind.
Yeah, it's a tough call, and I think that's what GG were going for in this set. I think we have a Brobnar combo though coming up next.
Indeed we do. I found this combo pretty early and I love it. It harkens back to AOA where FFG algorithmically prevented Into the Fray and Mugwump from showing up in the same deck. Thankfully, there's no such restriction here. The combo is Wurag Screamer and Fight to the End. Wurag Screamer is a 6-power Brobnar creature who readies himself through an after-fight ability. Fight to the End is a Brobnar action that allows you to ready and fight with a friendly creature, and if you're haunted, it gives that creature Skirmish. Wurag can then fight a bunch of times, taking out your opponent's entire battle line. This combo works better if you have Brick Nasty, of course. The deck I have it in has double Brick Nasty, and I managed to get it to go off for 12 Amber before. That's a Rotfeast Amberstorm kind of burst from that combo.
For sure. The next combo is another Ecto Charge combo, although it could also work with other cards. The combo is Ectocharge and Forgotten Guardian. Ectocharge is super powerful, being able to forge free or very cheap keys fairly frequently. However, the problem with it, as we mentioned earlier, is that it purges itself after it goes off. It would be amazing if you could use it again. Enter Forgotten Guardian. Forgotten Guardian is an untamed creature with a play ability that purges a card from a discard pile. However, it's the scrapped ability that we care about here. When the Guardian is discarded, scrapped, it shuffles a purged card back into your deck. You can use it to retrieve Ectocharge and then use it again. I would imagine that Forgotten Guardian is going to be a priority Infernus target.
Ugh, don't remind me. I was just enjoying the nearly Infernus-free meta of Winds of Exchange, but I think Grim Reminders is going to bring Infernus back in force. In fact, my early speculation is that we're going to see a rock-paper-scissors meta with Infernus decks from earlier sets beating Grim Reminders decks, Grim Reminders decks beating Woe decks, and Woe decks beating Infernus decks. We'll see if I'm right about that, but that's my early prediction.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see how that shakes out. So, on another note, Ectocharge seems like a very strong card so far. Is it broken?
It might be. There's no doubt it's going to draw complaints very quickly. However, given that they haven't nerfed a card since Coda, I'm not sure that it needs to be nerfed. It doesn't create the kind of unfun play experiences that Library Access and Nepenthe did. It's more akin to Jenka, and they have never nerfed that, at least not in Archon, obviously. They just nerfed it in Alliance a little bit. I think time will tell. Personally, I've really enjoyed the Ectocharge at zero so far because I feel like it creates a really interesting challenge where cards that can force your opponent to draw cards and potentially force them to flip their deck become really, really important. It's going to make a card like Recklessness a really key card in this set because of the fact you can force your opponent to flip their deck over.
And right now we're mostly theory crafting, so it'll be really good to see, you know, get some games in and see exactly how this all shakes out. And I think the next combo we're looking at is in Mars.
Yep. This one is a Mars combo. It's technically a two-card combo, but it's really better with three. The combo is Dr. Zaloxifrex and Ironix Rebel. Now, Dr. Zaloxifrex is a two-power Mars creature with elusive, and he has the ability that after he reaps, he returns a friendly Mars card from the discard to play, ready. Ironix Rebel is a two-power Mars creature that readies both of his Mars neighbors when he enters play. For the combo, you start by getting the Rebel killed, likely by fighting it into an opposing creature. Then you use Dr. X to bring back the Rebel, which comes in ready and readies Dr. X again. Rebel fights again, and then you repeat the process until you hit the rule of six. It's even better if you have another Mars creature, because then you're reaping for twice as much every time the Rebel comes in. Also, it can be helpful to have something like Mars First to kick the combo off in the first place. This is another combo that should burst you somewhere between 6 and 12 amber, depending on the exact game state at the point that you play it. The next combo won't net as much as that, but it's a lot easier to pull off. What is the next combo, Dennis?
This combo will only net you 3 amber, but it's pretty simple. It involves Sabira the Medium, an untamed witch creature, and Till the Earth, an untamed action. Sabira has a static ability that says, whenever you shuffle your discard pile into your deck, you gain 3 amber. Till the Earth instructs you to shuffle both players' discards into their deck, thus 3 free amber. Here's an interesting question, though. Would this effect work if your discard pile was empty?
So, I actually checked with Blinking Line on that very question, and this is his exact quote. Yes, Sabira should resolve anytime you shuffle any number of cards into your deck from your discard pile, including 0 cards, and your discard pile is empty afterwards. So it seems like it's a combo that will work even if you're shuffling nothing in.
That does make sense, since you are actually shuffling your deck regardless of what you're shuffling else into it.
Exactly.
And up next, I believe we have a Brobnar combo. What is that, John?
Well, this one is a combo that can be done with any number of cards, but I found this one to work especially well. The combo is Beanstalk and Thunderdell. Now, Beanstalk is a Brobnar artifact that allows your giant creatures to come into play ready, and it also has an action that allows you to search your deck and discard for a giant and put it into your hand. Thunderdale is a 5-power Brobnar creature that has Splash Attack 5 while you're haunted. If Beanstalk is in play, you play Thunderdale and immediately run it into your opponent's battle line, hopefully taking out 3 creatures between Thunderdale and the Splash. You then use the action on Beanstalk, get the Thunderdale back, and then do it again. You can take out most of your opponent's battle line in 2 hits. And of course, like all Brobnar combos, such as the one we mentioned earlier with Roarag Screamer, it's even better if you have Brick Nasty in play, because that way you're gaining Amber. Speaking of Brick Nasty,
I think he's our favorite giant of all time. We have another Brick Nasty combo coming up next. This time he is paired with Final Refrain. Brick is a Brobnar creature that gives you 1 Amber every time a friendly Brobnar creature fights. Final Refrain is a Brobnar action that lets you bring back every other creature from your discard pile, fight with them 1 at a time, and then destroy them all again. Obviously, if you fight with your Brobnar, you gain Amber. This combo works regardless of whether Brick Nasty is in play at the start of or in the discard pile at the start, because all he has to do is to be in play when the fight's resolved. This is yet another combo that can wipe out most of your opponent's board and give you a bunch of Amber for doing it.
You want to know how you can tell that that combo was intended by the designers? Look at the artwork on Final Refrain, and it actually shows Brick Nasty singing.
I wasn't sure that you actually knew that these cards had art on them.
Sure I do. I typically have lots of time to look at the art and read the flavor text while I'm waiting for my opponent to play. Unless I'm playing against RH Hater. That guy plays so fast that I can't even keep up.
That's impressive, because you're a pretty fast player by yourself. What's our final combo, John?
The final combo is Sandhopper and Sandworm. This one's pretty simple, but it's very strong. You play Sandworm, get 2 Amber from playing it due to its bonus pips, and then you use Sandhopper to bounce it back into your hand, allowing you to play a creature from a different house. Then you play Sandworm back down, you get another 2 Amber, and so you've gained 4 Amber and gotten 2 creatures in play for what's really just kind of a 2-card combo. So, simple, but very good.
Yeah, all right. And it's time to move on to our first segment, and only a segment this month, Key Warrior of the Month. Who is it this month, John?
Well, Dennis, this month's Key Warrior of the Month is JT Russell, one of the hosts of the Bottom of the Beaker podcast. He's been involved in the Keyforge community for a long time. He's an active NKFL player. In fact, if I remember correctly, I think he's back in Diamond, their top division this season. He's an ABR captain, and he's a really good ABR captain, having won ABR last season. You and I have played for him a couple times, too, and I think both times I played with him, I came in second place. So, very good captain. He's also theoretically one of my locals, although family responsibilities keep him from coming out to play Keyforge very often, which is unfortunate. What I really want to highlight today, though, is the work he did recently on their podcast about Sealed. Rather than just give opinions on it, as every other podcast, including ours, did, JT Russell and Quickdraw decided to actually crunch the numbers. They ran a poll to get people's opinions, but they also ran a simulation to put some numbers to the differences between Sealed Archon and Sealed Alliance. Their numbers were fascinating and lined up with my intuition about them. Basically, they found that Sealed Alliance produces better decks, but also produces greater variance in decks, meaning that it's actually less fair as compared to traditional Sealed of buy 3, pick 1. I really appreciate JT Russell crunching those numbers, and he's also helped me recently with some other stats work that I was doing. Besides all that he does for the community, he's also just a positive presence who never seems to get upset or gets down about anything. He has his trademark humor, and he's brought a whole bunch of sponsors into the Keyforge world. If you listen to Bottom of the Beaker, then you'll know what I'm talking about. Now, what are your thoughts on JT Russell, Dennis?
Yeah, we need some links to get some of his gear. I'm really looking forward to getting some of the products he's espousing on his podcast. We've known JT Russell for years now, given that he's ostensibly local to us. And he and I actually first met during an AOA introductory tournament at one of our local stores early on, and he easily beat me with a Jetka deck he happened to open for the tournament. He's always been a friend to our group and very helpful to our player base when he is able to play. And I've been a loyal listener to Bottom of the Beaker since the beginning, and the Sloppy Lab is some of the keenest insight into competitive Keyforge out there. If you haven't listened to the podcast, you should immediately add it to your list and catch up.
I agree completely.
And I believe that concludes this episode of Weekend Key Warriors. Do you have any final thoughts, John?
Yeah, first of all, I know I said this last month, but I want to again compliment Ghost Galaxy on how quickly they got the Gamefound shipping done. I am shocked that we got our stuff before the end of January, and international orders should be coming in right on our heels. This should inspire confidence in people to back future Gamefounds, which is good because that will help grow the game. I'd still rather they use a retail model, but this is still a big improvement over the WoW Gamefound. And I also have to say, and I kind of said this a little bit at the beginning, but I really love this set. The strategic depth is amazing. There's a lot to explore here, and I think we'll keep finding more layers the more we play it. Much like Quick Draw from the Bottom of the Beaker podcast, I appreciate returning to a more normal type of Keyforge. I did have fun with WoW, but the extra randomness from the token generation took some of the strategy out of it, and I definitely like having a lot of strategy in my games. This set should have a lot more decision points, and hopefully it will stand up competitively. I think early returns are good on that one.
I haven't been able to play much Grim Reminders as of yet, but from what I've seen so far, the set appears to be so good it's scary. Especially since when Yule Joker and I opened decks together over webcams last week, the both of you opened some serious bangers. I can't wait to play much more of it, but unfortunately after the recent storm here in the Northeast a couple of weeks ago, my local store had to close for renovations due to a backup in the drainage pipes. It may be a while before they reopen, and until then, we have nowhere to meet for Keyforge.
Ugh, that really sucks. On the plus side, you can play Keyforge online on TCO, and I do want to congratulate you on our recent ABR victory over our team weekend teammate, Kid Dynamite. You had a hard-fought match with him, and you played it very well. His deck, Wimpy, was a top 8 Voltor deck, and you guided Mira to win over it.
Thank you. It was a very tough matchup against a ridiculously good deck, and Kid Dynamite piloted it masterfully. I had no response in Game 2 when he used his mass buyout, closed-door negotiations, and corner-of-the-market combo to lock me out for the win, but thankfully, when he did it again in Game 3, I had an answer once I was able to play cards again.
Yeah, it was very impressive, your play in that match. Also, I want to welcome the newest member of Team Weekend, Architect Josh, or just Architect on TCO. We were all impressed with what a stand-up guy he's been this ABR season. We're excited that he was interested in joining the team. I've said many times that having good players is great, and Architect is certainly a good player, but it's more important to have good people, and he certainly fits that bill.
Yeah, he's been a great teammate so far in ABR and a great practice partner, and I'm glad he's on our side.
One last thing I want to talk about is I ordered a custom name deck for our podcast. The deck name is Weekend Key Warriors of Adam Villa. It turned out pretty well, being in the top 15 decks in the world by Z-Score. My reading of that is that the algorithm likes our podcast, and I hope our listeners agree.
Yeah, I can't wait to play it, and I probably will, going back to what I mentioned earlier about all the good decks you opened so far. And I know that Key Warriors isn't even your favorite or top deck to play yet from this set. And from what little I've played so far, Grim Reminders is very fun and challenges you to think about the game in a new way, and I can't wait to play it a lot more. Anyway, that's all we have for you this time. So once again, this has been the Weekend Key Warriors podcast with your hosts, Dennis and John, and we will see you again soon.